We want to now turn to chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, and we're starting at verse 9 because we actually ended last week at verse 10, but I wanted to give you 9 and 10 again just as an introduction and a review tonight, because it works in, of course, with what's said in verse 11, where we'll start tonight in new ground. So we'll be going to the end of the chapter tonight, which is verse 17. We read here in verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now many folks will be martyred in the tribulation period, as we shared before, and they were under the altar here as Jesus opened the fifth seal of the scroll, which is the title deed to the earth, to actually have the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And so he's in the process of that now, and he opens this fifth seal on the scroll. And with that, we see many people that were killed for their faith during the tribulation period, because as we will see further on in the book of Revelation chapter 13, that when the Antichrist shows up, he will require that you take his mark, the mark of the beast, in the forehead or on the hand. And you know, I've seen commercials on television that actually have banks doing that. Have you seen some of those commercials? It's just amazing. And they're actually doing this kind of thing with cats and dogs as we speak, to identify cats and dogs. They put computer things in their heads and so forth. And so the technology is here. And so that's what the Antichrist will do. And if you don't take his mark, you won't be able to buy or sell. And you will eventually be martyred and killed for your faith in Jesus Christ, for not taking that mark. But the Bible does say if you do take the mark of the Antichrist, that you will definitely be tormented day and night forever and ever, because you've identified it with the Antichrist. Now, I keep saying you. I don't mean you. You know, the rapture's coming. It's going to take us. And hallelujah. And the Bible says Jesus said to pray always that you'll be counted worthy to escape these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. And so we pray that because Jesus told us to pray it. And let's just pray it now. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray that everyone in this room would be counted worthy. And we know that worthy is the Lamb. And so, Lord, as we're in Jesus, we're worthy. We accept you as Savior. Thank you, Lord. But that we should pray always that we'll be accounted worthy to escape these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before you, the Son of Man, as the rapture of the church will come and take the church home. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. These souls were slain for their faith because they accepted Christ after the rapture. They came to their senses. They accepted Jesus, refused the mark of the beast, and were killed for their faith. And so they're underneath the altar of God in heaven. And they began to cry with a loud voice unto the Lord. This is verse 10. Saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And so they're asking, how long? How long, O Lord? And I know that Pastor Saeed has probably been saying that to the Lord. How long do I have to be here, Lord, in this prison in Iran? And the Lord is busy working on that as we've been praying tonight. And didn't you sense the power of the Lord in the prayers for this family? So these folks are wondering about the Lord taking vengeance on those. Revenge is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. And so they're bringing this prayer up to the Lord. And now this tells us a couple of things here by just reading this verse about heaven. Number one, time continues in heaven. Now, there is a scripture that says time will be no more, but that means the time is up for the earth, and God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. But as time goes on, it will go on even in heaven. because we see them saying, "How long?" So there is a sense of time passing, and they're asking for this vengeance. Now, as we look at this and understand also the situation, that we will wait for our loved ones in heaven. When we get to heaven, we'll be waiting for our loved ones, because it says they were given white robes, verse 11, and given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until, in the passage of time, until their fellow servants, which would be all your loved ones, your fellow servants, your church family, your sons and daughters, and so forth, and maybe other relatives, until your fellow servants also and their brothers, that they should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And so we see a couple of things here, don't we, from this one verse. These souls under the altar are saying, how long, meaning that time does pass, and then we're seeing that their loved ones aren't there yet. And the Lord tells them to rest and wait for that. Wait for them. And I really believe there's like a birthing room in heaven. And when you get there, all your relatives will be there, just like they were at St. Joe's Hospital when you were born. And I'm looking forward to that day. There's a lot of relatives that I want to meet and remember that were so influential in my own life and my salvation, to actually be greeted by your loved ones, that you've been, they've been waiting for me to come and be with them. Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be. And until then, we enjoy each other. And of course, many of us pass away, but pass away to a better place. And I also believe that because Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us down here, what's he do up there? What's Jesus do in heaven? Says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. So he's in continual prayer up there for people on the earth. And so I've just kind of fancied the idea, and there's a book about this. It's called Heaven, and it's kind of a neat thought that maybe we can enter into the prayer life with Jesus. It says that when we see him, we'll be like him, and we'll ever be with the Lord. Wherever he goes, we go. And so if he ever lives to make intercession for those on the earth, I think maybe we'll join him. I think I would like to do that for my sons that are still left down here, or whatever's going on. And so anyway, those are some thoughts about what these verses reveal about us. Now, in verse 11, it says there that they were given white robes. They're asking about how long it's going to be until the Lord takes vengeance on the earth. And so they were given white robes, given to every one of them. Now, what are these white robes? Well, we've talked about this before, but we want to talk about a little bit more tonight because it's here in the scriptures tonight. So I'd like to turn with you to Revelation chapter 19. And so we go from chapter 6 of Revelation to chapter 19. And it says in verses 7 and 8, and gives us definition about the white robes. And so it says in chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready." And so we see a marriage in heaven between the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ. Remember John the Baptist, when he first saw Jesus coming, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." And so the Lamb is Jesus, and his wife has made herself ready. Well, who's his wife? Well, that'd be you and me corporately. The church is his wife. And let's read about it in verse 8. "To her was granted that she should be arrayed or dressed up in fine linen, clean and white." Clean and white. And so the wedding garment will be the white, clean linen, clean and white. And that is why we have the tradition of brides being dressed in white. And when that back door's open, when I'm doing a wedding, there's a beautiful bride all dressed in white and coming down. And Sarah's about ready to do that pretty soon. Sarah's going to get married and May 16th. Yes, we're counting the days, Xing them off. All right, congratulations. So clean and white. For the fine linen is what? It's the righteousness of saints. Whoa. Boy, that's a fine how do you do, isn't it? It's the righteousness of saints. Or no translation, the righteous acts of saints. So who are the saints? That's us. I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in, right? Have you ever sung that one? Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. And so the bride of Christ then is the saints, are the saints, are those on earth that have come to believe and trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation. And the righteousness is his righteousness. Oh, yeah, it's his righteousness that's been granted to us, just like it was to Father Abraham. Father Abraham, it says in Romans and also in Genesis, that he believed the Lord. And it was put to his account in heaven as righteousness. As we believe and trust in Jesus Christ, that's accounted to our account in heaven as righteousness. And so our robes are the righteousness of Christ, kind of an aura. I picture that as like an aura, not an actual piece of cloth, but like an aura of the righteous acts and the beautiful things that God, Jesus Christ, has done in and through my life. Is there and left after I've gone through the fire. The wood, hay, and stubble has been burned away. Oh, but the righteousness of Christ remains. And just kind of radiating from my life and your life because of what he did in and through us, because of his sacrifice on the cross. And so the white robe was given to these saints. That is the presence and the beauty and the righteousness of Christ. Was given to these saints under the throne, waiting for their loved ones. So let's go back now to verse 11 of chapter 6 of Revelation. It says, white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them, and this is so important. This word that I'm going to give you next is something that jumped out of the Bible into my heart when I was doing this study, and this is the centerpiece of the message tonight. For it says this, they were given the white robes and that they should rest. Rest. Just saying that word and receiving it is wonderful to do. Rest. Rest in the Lord. His presence is with you. His white robe is given them. Now I want you to rest. Rest in me. Rest in me. And rest for just a little season until your fellow servants also and their brothers that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And so this idea of resting in the Lord. Now Paul speaks to us about this situation for the end times in 2 Thessalonians. And let's try to find that together. Now, Thessalonians is with all the T's in the New Testament. It's not far back from Revelation. So we want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 6 through 10. Just look for all the T's, Timothy, Titus, and 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And 1 and 2 Thessalonians are before Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, and before Titus. So it's not hard to find, and it's the longest of the T's. Great big long word, Thessalonians. Okay, so we go to 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1, and starting at verse 6. And this is what it says here. It says, it is a righteous thing with God. It's a righteous thing with God to recompense, and that is to bring vengeance, to return tribulation, hard things, to them that trouble you. That's a righteous thing for him. And so their prayer in heaven was completely right on. They're not sinning when they say, how long, O God, until you revenge us or take vengeance on those on the earth that have killed us? Because it says it is a righteous thing with God to recompense, to return tribulation to them that trouble you. God's watching your back, and he sees who's bugging you, and he knows who's bugging you. And if they have evil intent, he takes care of business. Yes, he does. And to you who are troubled, rest. Rest. Oh, glorious rest. Get me a big puffer bed with a big puffer pillow. Rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Glorified in his saints. And now we get back to the white robe. And to be admired. Admired. Jesus is going to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And so this beautiful white robe that we're given is the righteous acts that came forth through our lives that Jesus did while we are here on the earth. And so all that is left of me is what Jesus did through me. And so we're going to look at each other as the saints of God and admire one another, looking at Jesus and what he did. Glory to God. And so there is a tremendous rest there. So here's your white robe. Rest now. Just rest in the finished work of God. He's going to take care of business. He's going to bring revenge to those that troubled you. And best of all, he wants to save them so they can be forgiven just like you. But if they will not, then they will have to face the music and the justice of Almighty God, because they've rejected God's loving gift in Jesus Christ to forgive and wash away forever every sin. That's what the Christian has received. It's huge. And so this is what we see, to receive the rest for eternity. Now, he gives these same comforts. He gives these same comforts, his righteous presence, and that rest in him, in our walk with him right now. Thank God. We don't have to wait for these things. Oh, yes, they'll come into reality like never before. When we see him, we'll be like him, and we'll see him face to face, and we'll know him even as we are known, and it will be a glorious day that'll last forever. But God is with us even now. And will bring his shining countenance, his wonderful presence upon us in times of need. And also, he desires for us to find rest, even now. Come unto me, he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. That's a right now thing. He said that in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Biggest life. Come unto me, all you that labor. You've just been laboring and you're heavy laden. You're burdened down with the cares and the worries of life. You have boulders on your shoulders. And he wants to take them off. He wants to roll the boulders down your arms and onto the ground, and bring us such a rest and such peace by his grace and his mercy as a gift to you. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give it to you. And so that rest and that righteous presence. Now I want to show you something in Psalm 42. I had a dear brother that's just been saved the other night, Saturday night service, share with me that he's so amazed that no matter what he feels and what emotion is bothering him, he can find it in the Psalms. And that's the truth of it. The Psalms, the songs of David, can really minister to you emotionally. You want emotional healing? You're going through emotional upheaval in your life? Boy, that's a place to go. Read a psalm. Go to the Psalms. Ask God to read, to take you to the right psalm. I remember when I was first discovering that I had a heart arrhythmia and didn't know what it was, and to eat like chocolate ice cream or drink a lot of coffee would get my arrhythmia going. And so I knew better than eating 4 scoops of Rocky Road ice cream. But it was a grand evening, and everybody was eating Rocky Road, and so I joined in. And I had not 3 scoops, but 4 scoops of Rocky Road ice cream. And so Sherry and I went to bed, and again, this is before I knew that I had this arrhythmia thing, and I didn't know what it was. So it went off. And I'm laying in bed next to Sherry, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to die. Call 911. And Sherry looked at me, and I said, quick, you got to call 911. I'm dying. And then I fell out of bed onto all fours on the floor, you know, going into some kind of panic attack thing of, I'm dead now, goodbye, kiss me goodbye. And actually, because I'm preaching here tonight, you know that didn't happen. But I'm on all fours. And Sherry said, this does not bear witness. Pretty tough remark to a suffering slave, huh? But she just reached for her Bible. She started reading Psalms to me. And you know, as she read the Psalms, I began to calm down. And then pretty soon I was slipping back up into bed and putting my head back on the pillow. And you know, my heart calmed down, the arrhythmia stopped and all. And I just knew it was the Lord. As God just calmed me down. I'm so glad. I mean, I think being picked up by the paramedics and all the instruments they do and how they shove you into an ambulance and scream you down the street to a bunch of waiting doctors with stethoscopes and pills and cords and pipes and would have killed me. I would have died of panic, you know. I'm just talking about myself now. Don't you get scared about your ride to the hospital. You'll be fine. I don't know if I'd ever make it, though. But it was so good to have the Psalms and that emotional healing and the calming down that it brings. Well, with that, I'd like to turn with you to Psalm 42. There's a real example here in Psalm 42 of this kind of deal. The Lord really wants you to bless you with his presence and his rest. Two things. Here's your robe. I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And I want you to rest in me. Be still and know that I am God. And there is none other. Let's turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And we're going to look at verse 5. There it is. Okay. Now the psalmist here, he's very upset. His soul is cast down. He feels forsaken somehow. He's in confusion, disorientation, feeling claustrophobic, these things. And then the psalmist begins to speak faith and to sing faith. This is the chorus of the song. The psalm means song. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for what? For the help of his countenance. For the help of his countenance, his aura, his presence, his reality. I am going to praise him when he gives to me the gift of the white robe, the gift of his presence, the gift of knowing that he is really there, really there. And you know, he says in his word, when two or three or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. So there's a lot more than two or three here tonight. So Jesus is just right here among us and with us. And that's why we tend to feel peaceful at church. But you know what? You can feel peaceful anywhere, even after eating four scoops of Rocky Road ice cream in your bedroom. And just receiving the Psalms, receiving the Word of God. And you just begin to have the beauty of his countenance, the presence of his awesomeness. I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Put your hope there, your rest in him. And then know that you're going to praise him, and you'll begin. Your heart will begin to be lifted, and his countenance will surround and engulf your heart and begin to calm you down and bring the peace that you need. And so there it is. He's so present, not just with those under the altar in heaven. Here's your white robe. I want you to rest for a while. But with us that belong to him here, right here upon the earth. It's awesome. He's so good to take such good care of us. I could not leave this subject tonight without giving you one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 37. And if you've never seen this before, you're going to revel in it. And you might want to get a pen out and underline it if you've got one. Let's go to Psalm 37, a few psalms back from Psalm 42. And there's some awesome promises here. We're not going to read all of them tonight, but just some of them. Now it says in verse 5 of Psalm 37, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment or justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. And at this verse, I think of those on the earth that are being martyred, and those that are already in heaven saying, how long, Lord, are you going to let them do this? Well, the scripture says, fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And that will be the end of those under the altar and their friends as they join them. The meek shall inherit the earth. And Jesus comes down and sets up his kingdom on the earth after that. And the meek, the humble of heart, will inherit the earth. And so these things are all true, these promises, right here in Psalm 37. Rest in him, it says. And then in verse 10 it says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Now, this is so true because those in heaven waiting, the Antichrist will be judged. He will be cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone and join the devil and the angels actually there in the lake of fire after all is said and done with Satan too. And so you'll search for them, but you won't find them anymore. They're just not there to bug you anymore. They're not there to do their wicked deeds like arrest Pastor Saeed or as some of the ISIS people, not the ISIS people, I think it's another group, but they kidnapped all those dear Christian girls in the Christian school. All of that business, all of that horrifying stuff will be out of here. It's just over. God's had it and it's gone. His patience endured for a season to bring people to know him. And then he's just going to wrap it up. And so that's the way it will be for eternity. But this is also the way it is in everyday living. These promises are for us today. This rest is for us today. This rest in him and the hope of his countenance and help is there for us. We're to rest in him. We had that a little earlier, remember. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And he will bring it to pass. He will bring forth your righteousness as the noonday. As the noonday. And the noonday is the brightest part of the day. When the sun is straight up, it's the brightest part of the day. And that's what he does. And that's what he's about, bringing forth his countenance. And so we just read this verse here, that you'll look for the wicked and you'll find him not. This verse actually happened to me working auto parts. It's a real live testimony, and God gave me this verse to comfort me just before it happened. I went to work at an auto parts store in Torrance, California, and the boss was a drunk, and he would come to work drunk, and he was belligerent when he was drunk. So I was treated very roughly. Working in the auto parts industry in that store. He had a upper boss, but he was in Los Angeles, and he was kind of a offshoot in Torrance from Los Angeles. And he would call me names. He would tell me he was going to knock me on my wallet. He did all these things. And the Lord, of course, was helping me be a Christian and to hold my temper and so forth and keep my job. And I just cried out to God all the time. I said, Lord, how long is this going to go on? You know? And the Lord gave me this verse. For yet a little while, the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. And so in the course of time, I was trying to bring this man to the Lord and sharing the Lord with him. And he continued to be belligerent. But one day, he came to work, and he called up the big boss in L.A. and cussed him a blue streak. Just cussed and cussed at him, and he said, I am so out of here. And he walked out the front door, and I never saw him again. And I remembered the verse, you will consider where the wicked is in your life that's been bothering you, and you won't even be able to find him. And the next boss that came down from L.A. was kind of a fair-haired, gentle kind of guy. And he just really liked me and treated me so nicely. And I wasn't given bathroom duty all the time. And it was a joy to work with this man. And I thought, Lord, you have delivered me. And when you deliver somebody, they're delivered. I was so blessed and so thankful to God. And it's so good. And I know that these dear saints in heaven, wanting and waiting and how longing, what a blessing when all is done in the tribulation period and things are wrapped up and Jesus Christ mounts that horse and all the host of heaven mounts the horses behind him along with these saints and they go to meet the friends And Jesus establishes his kingdom upon the earth. And to the goats on his left hand, he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And he'll say to the righteous, the sheep on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom which was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And it actually says that the things of this world will not be remembered, nor even be brought to mind. Not be remembered. This is Isaiah chapter 65, and we'll get there on Sunday morning pretty, well, not pretty soon, but when we get to Isaiah 65. Will not be remembered, or won't even be brought to mind. And so there's the plan, and it's a beautiful plan, that God's going to take care of things. So he wants us to just commit our way unto him, and he will bring it to pass. He will bring forth our righteousness as we're presented with the white robes, as the noonday, the sun at its brightest. And he will bring to us great rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And so we're in a learning process while we're here on the earth to practice that. It's the way it's going to be in heaven. It's one of the two things that he does up there for us, as we see in Revelation 6. Okay, well, let's just go back now to Revelation 6. And we want to go ahead and go down to verse 17. To finish the chapter, and it talks about the judgments of God. Now, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal. Now, this is the final seal that's open to the title deed to the earth. And lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, when the Bible says great earthquake, it means great earthquake. This is the largest ever earthquake in all of history. Remember that Jesus said that great tribulation is coming upon the earth, tribulation such as the world has never seen before, nor will ever see again. So this is the earthquake of all earthquakes. There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. So this is kind of an earthquake in the heavens, too. The heavens are being shaken, and asteroids and meteorites are hitting the earth. Even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs, and that when she is shaken of a mighty wind, that's the way it will be in the heavens, in this great earthquake. Now, there are many folks that believe that this is taking us to the end. And the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments that we'll read next are kind of a flashback then to this last section of Scripture where this giant earthquake comes and brings things to an end. Now, the reason they believe that is because you see Jesus talking about the sun not giving its light and the moon becoming blood and the stars falling from heaven after the tribulation period. And I'd like to show you that in Scripture. Remember, we always need to interpret Scripture with Scripture. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verses 29 through 30. Verse 29 of Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about end times. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. And many believe these clouds to mean the group, the host of heaven, the ones that have been raptured before, coming with Jesus, mounted upon the horses, as we'll see in Revelation 19 when it happens. Coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And so you see, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Now, in the next judgments we're going to be reading, this begins to happen, where the sun is darkened. One third of the light of the sun is taken away, and one third of the ability for the stars to shine in the judgments after this. And it's building up to the end, when this whole thing is just going to be shaken, and meteorites and asteroids will fall from heaven. And we see precursors of that with when a star hits the oceans and all the things in the oceans die. That'll be in judgments we're going to read on a little past this. But kind of a summation of what he's doing taking place here as he opens the sixth seal, which is the last seal on the title deed to the earth, to take possession of the earth. So let's go back now to Revelation chapter 6. And we see in verse 14, Revelation 6:14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain, every single mountain on the earth, that means the tallest ones, Mount Everest, Baldy, and all of the mountains you can think of, every single mountain will be moved out of its place. Let's see, where was I? Okay, reading in verse 15, no, 14, no. Okay, and every mountain and island, and all the islands, the Hawaiian Islands, the Samoan Islands, were moved out of their places. So nothing is not moved. This is one hairy earthquake. The whole crust of the earth is on the move. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman or every slave. Now, this is probably referring to countries like Red China, where actually, as you read missionary books, you discover that oftentimes the Christians are taken from their homes, from the underground church in China, and put to slave labor. And they don't pay them, they're imprisoned. And so every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath or anger of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Who indeed shall be able to stand in such a time, when every mountain and every island is being moved out of its place, and the stars are falling from heaven, and the sun is going dark, and the moon is turning to blood, a blood color. And so this is recognized now, and this is the point that we want to make as we end this study. The people on the earth are finally recognizing that this is the wrath of Almighty God. It's not Mother Nature. It's not something we can rebuild because we have the technology. It's the wrath of Almighty God. It's the wrath of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the second time that he comes, it says that he's coming to judge and to make war. The first time he came was to die and forgive. But the second time is to judge and make war to those that have hardened their hearts and stiffened their necks to the point that they would never repent. I will never repent. I will never confess my sins. I'm in charge. And Mother Nature's just happening, and this is all going to pass, and we'll be fine. Arrogant. Arrogance of man. And this is, of course, the arrogance that started with the devil. And so here, they finally recognize, as they hide themselves in caves and dens on the earth, that the wrath of the Lamb is come, and who is going to be able to stand? Well, God help them, and God minister to as many as he can. Actually, millions and millions of people will be saved during the tribulation period. The number of them is uncountable, the Bible says, because they will turn away from Antichrist and look to Jesus Christ. As many as he calls will be saved. And he calls us, he justifies us, and then he glorifies us. And that is a wonderful thing. And when we accept Christ, the scripture says that we're not appointed to wrath. The same Greek word that's right here, the wrath of the Lamb has come. We are not appointed to wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is our hope. And this is where we get this hope. We get this from the book of Revelation, chapter 6, and so many other scriptures in the Bible. For we are not as others which have no hope. Oh, we've got a hope. We have a living hope. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and I will stand with him on this earth one day. It's going to happen, and we can be encouraged with that and become gentle in our hearts towards those that don't believe and put up with a lot in order to see them saved, because they don't even realize what's coming. You and I, we study it and we know about it. And here it is right before us. But so many need to know the story, that old, old story of Jesus and his love, and how the Lord Jesus can pull us from these things and cause us to stand. Who's going to be able to stand, it says here at the end of this chapter? Well, who's standing are those that are standing with Christ. As we pray always to be counted worthy to escape these things and to stand. Who's going to stand? Us, standing before the Son of Man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a gift God has given us in Jesus Christ. Amen. No wonder we're going to be kind of thankful when we see him. Right on? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's pray together and seek the Lord. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you don't pull any punches. You let us know what's coming down. Lord, you just lay it out. And, Father, we know that sometimes it's a little bit difficult because it's hairy stuff. But Lord, we thank you that you don't want us to not know. You want to lay it out and give us the truth. The truth will set us free. So Lord, we continue to pray for our lost and unsaved loved ones, and for those around us in work and school and all in this world that need to be saved yet. And Father, give us a fire like you did Jeremiah to preach your word, and Lord, to do it in love. Because, Lord, we know that love overcomes the multitude of sins. Love can do it. Love is the answer in Christ Jesus. So help us, Lord, to grow in our spiritual weapons, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, and praying always for all saints everywhere. And we thank you, Father. And so we give all of this back up to you. We thank you for touching our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so may the Lord give you a great rest in your life. Just the rest of the Lord. If you need prayer for anything tonight, Dan and Becky will be in the prayer room to pray with you. And so God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.